Welcome to another episode of the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. A progressive insight into Michigan's political and cultural world. And of course, an entertaining podcast designed to shine a light on how to make Michigan's political machine work for the people. Now, from the Left of Lansing headquarters, located in his attic, here's the award-winning Pat Johnston.
Oh, yeah! Welcome to another edition of Michigan's premier progressive podcast. I am Pat Johnston, doing a solo show here this week, and I have to ask you, just right off the bat, did you see my Republican Congressman John Molinar of Midland at Dear Leader's political speech there in Grand Rapids this week? I mean, there he was in the back row wearing a nice yellow tie. And after Dear Leader finished his brief statement filled with lies and misinformation, there was John Molinar squeezing in between all those right-wing Michigan sheriffs, squeezing in just so he could shake hands with Dear Leader. I mean, John looked like a giddy teenager rushing the stage to shake the hand of his idol. Okay, I know he was already on stage, but still, when he was just sneaking in there, oh, please, please, please shake my hand. Please, please, Dear Leader, shake my hand. It was pathetic. I remember the good old days when John Molinar was just a shill for Dow and other corporate dollars. Now, like many in his party, he's a shill for fascism. What a frightening sight that was in Grand Rapids this past Tuesday. Dear Leader appeared in GR, and he first conducted some half-assed photo op of a roundtable where he and several right-wing officials, activists, sheriffs, and insurrectionists sat around this table and talked about the different ways they could, all right, let's be honest, politicize the death of Ruby Garcia, a 25-year-old woman who was shot to death by someone she knew around Grand Rapids. Now, authorities reported that Garcia and Brandon Ortiz Bright, who was in the country illegally, had some kind of a relationship. Garcia's family is disputing that they had a relationship, but they do acknowledge that the two did know each other. Now, Ortiz Bright was deported back in 2020, but federal officials say that he returned here illegally. Ortiz Bright would then buy a gun illegally, and the 9mm that he bought is the one that he used to shoot and kill Ruby Garcia. And according to Wood TV, he's admitted to authorities of shooting Garcia multiple times in his car. It's another tragic incidence of domestic violence that we see happening far too often in this country. Toxic masculinity is a problem and has been for quite some time. And it's another incidence of gun violence that we're seeing happen far too often in this country. Did Dear Leader and his hangers-on there on the stage have anything to say about those issues this week? No. The only reason he showed up here was to lie, misinform, and inflame the hatred that resides in so many of his cult followers. And he took to the stage and put a spotlight on the victim and the victim's family, Ruby Garcia's family. And here's audio of Trump's remarks about her via Wood TV in Grand Rapids.
Ruby's loved ones and community are left grieving for this incredible young woman, remembering what they called her. They said she had just this most contagious laughter. And when she walked into a room, she lit up that room. And I've heard that from so many people. I spoke to some of her family.
But here's the problem. You see, the problem is, while seemingly feeling very, very heartbroken for the victim and her family, Trump never ever spoke to one family member. Here's her sister, Marvy Garcia, also from Wood TV in Grand Rapids.
He did not speak with any of us, so it was kind of shocking seeing that he had said that he had spoke with us and, you know, saying, well, misinforming people live TV.
He never spoke to them. He just wanted to exploit her death for sick political reasons. I guarantee, and you know I'm right about this, if someone in the press asks Trump to say Ruby Garcia's name by the end of this weekend, or, you know, if he could even remember Ruby Garcia's name by the end of this weekend, he wouldn't remember. Why would he? She's already served his political purposes. And besides, his cognitive decline that we all see happening each and every day would probably hurt him too. And can you imagine? Can you imagine how the Beltway press in Washington, D.C. would go insane if Joe Biden did the exact same thing? Do you believe this would have been a one-day story or just a two-day story? But here was this guy who's been found liable for sexual assault, and he's got nothing to say when it comes to domestic violence, because that's what this is. It's domestic violence. How about Congressman Molinar? He voted against the Violence Against Women's Act renewal a couple of years ago. Certainly old John Boy there would want to say something about domestic violence. No? Okay. How about the ease to get your hands on a gun at any time? Anything? Anybody? Anybody out there? No? You see, dear leader and his Republican hangers-on have no solutions to help people. They just want to fill people with anger, inflame them with hatred, and fill them with fear. Here's another portion of the speech where Trump lies about a plan for immigrants and refugees who face problems getting housing here in Michigan. And of course, he can't help himself. He has to attack Governor Whitmer for trying to care for people in her state.
In various counties recently, three illegal alien migrants were arrested for soliciting sex from children, yet the radical left-wing governor, Gretchen Whitmer, a real beauty she is. I had to deal with her in COVID. She was the only one that was able to go sailing was her husband, right? Her husband went sailing and everybody else is locked in their house. How did that work out? Not too good. But she's now pushing Michigan families to accept $500 a month to take illegal aliens into your homes. They don't say this for our veterans that are on the street. They don't say this for other people, but they say it for migrants coming in because they want them to vote, probably. In other words, Biden and Whitmer are stealing your money to give free housing to illegals and then asking you to quarter these people, put them in your homes and feed them and do everything else. And it's just the whole thing is so crazy. And
First of all, why does he always have to sound like a little baby when he tried making fun of Whitmer's husband and says, how'd that turn out? Not so good. I mean, speak like, you know, you're an adult, not wearing diapers. Well, okay, maybe. Maybe try just talking like an adult. Or is that part of the cognitive decline that's occurring in real time? And yes, while it was certainly an error in judgment for Whitmer's husband to put his boat in the water during COVID, it wasn't fatal. It wasn't like telling people to shine ultraviolet lights up their butts to protect themselves from COVID or cure them or telling them to, you know, I don't know, take horse medication to cure them from COVID. But as for that $500 program to house refugees and other newcomer population eligible households, the money there will help those refugees and newcomers here in this country. It'll help them get a little floor under them so they can find better housing opportunities. And the Detroit Free Press says, as part of this program, people must qualify for the benefit and provide proof of an eligible immigration status. The Free Press says it is possible that some asylum seekers who would ultimately be found by officials to not have credible claims could benefit, sure, but that is different than declaring them illegals up front, as Trump did. You see, this is smart policy. It's humane policy. Also, he said something in there where they just want to bring people in here so that way they'll have people vote for them. Why is it that they always assume, that the right wing always assumes that undocumented workers, undocumented people, immigrants, refugees are always going to automatically vote for Democrats? I mean, come on, Republicans. You guys always told me, ever since I was a little kid during Ronald Reagan's time, that you guys had the best policies ever, that nobody would ever, ever dream of voting for the Democratic Party and their policies. But now all of a sudden, that's all the right wing thinks about is that if you get immigrants here, the more immigrants, the more Democratic voters. So that just tells me you guys have no faith in your policies. All right, so now let's move on and let's hear what he had to say about his favorite governor, Governor Whitmer.
She's a terrible governor, by the way. Your streets are bad. Everything's bad. She used to come to the White House. She was so nice. And then she'd go say, I don't like that man. I say, wait a minute. He was very nice, wasn't he?
He really does sound like James Austin Johnson from Saturday Night Live, doesn't he not? Anyway, the streets are bad. The streets are bad. That's what he says. Hey, dude, remember when you had several infrastructure weeks back when you were in the White House, but you and your party did nothing to fix our infrastructure? Your top priority was giving huge tax breaks to your donor base and to the corporate class. The hell with our infrastructure. I mean, at least Joe Biden and the Democrats passed some real infrastructure relief. You failed. Now, as for fixing the roads and building smarter transit in the future, well, I talked about that in previous shows and we'll continue to talk about that in future episodes. But I'm moving on here this week. Now, Governor Whitmer responded to Dear Leader's visit on CNN's Caitlin Collins, and she pointed out how all he wants to do is ambulance chase. But when push came to shove, he and his party backed down from passing an immigration bill they originally wanted.
Well, I'll tell you, the former president was in Grand Rapids today, and he was capitalizing on a horrible tragedy that happened here. There is a family that is grieving the loss of Ruby Garcia, and she was a real person with a real story, and it is a horrible story that happened. All of that being said, he came in to, perpetrate the continued storyline that he had done everything to keep us safe, which is baloney. We know that under the Trump administration, he actually called me, the governor of Michigan, to ask that we send the National Guard to help with surveillance on the southern border. And we helped him out because he couldn't get it done. He's also the reason that the, negotiation in Washington, D.C. didn't come to fruition. He torpedoed a deal that would have had the strongest border security in decades in this country that President Biden put on the table. He told Republicans to walk away, and they did. So I really, I cannot abide when someone comes in and just tries to score political points off of someone else's pain and perpetuates a problem instead of actually trying to solve it.
Well, that's why she's going to be a major player in the 2028 presidential race. The gov knows how to fight back, but to fight back with facts on her side. Now, one quick thought, if I may. I read some posts from the MAGA cult who argued that Democrats complain when Trump exploits a death or a crime committed by an illegal immigrant, but they have no problems exploiting the deaths of gun violence victims or school shooting victims. Well, as the governor just said there, unlike Trump, who comes here to just stoke the flames and stir the pot of hatred, Democrats actually try to pass meaningful policies designed to lessen the number of gun violent deaths perpetrated by domestic abusers. What have Republicans done to fix immigration? Nothing. I've read supporters of Dear Leader argue that Trump's trying to do something about illegal immigration, unlike you libtards out there, except Trump nuked an immigration deal, a deal crafted and controlled by his party in Congress, but he nuked it because passing that immigration bill would not only take away Dear Leader's favorite fear factor of an issue, but it would end up giving President Biden a victory. Now, we couldn't have that, right? My only conclusion I could take from the Republican Party is that illegal immigration or securing the southern border isn't much of an issue. It's almost like they're making it up. I mean, if it's such a serious issue, they'd want to deal with it now rather than later. No? Or, you know what? I'm guessing it's more that they're willing to put party over country, which isn't surprising considering that they're all lining up again to back a guy who has been found, I'll say it again, liable for sexual assault, who tried to overturn an election through an insurrection which injured 140 Capitol Police officers, and who faces 88 different kinds of charges in various courtrooms. But this is the guy the Police Officers Association of Michigan endorsed while at that sham event in Grand Rapids. What an embarrassment. I posted some thoughts on X about that whole charade there earlier this week, and this is what I posted. I said, seeing those Michigan sheriffs standing with, smiling with, laughing with, shaking hands with a guy who's been found liable for sexual assault, faces 88 charges, and led an insurrection injuring 140 Capitol Police officers is why we need some kind of police reform. And I stand by that. We desperately need some kind of police reform after watching that charade earlier this week. And that post got some great traction with many of you out there, and I thank you for sharing it and for liking it and for your comments. But I also received a lot of attention from the cult, which was just furious that I attacked those right-wing sheriffs. And I expected that kind of reaction from them because they've been conditioned to believe right-wing authoritarianism is the best course of action in order for their side to win. They've been conditioned to accept fascism. And that's the scary part. That was really the scary part of that event in Grand Rapids. It wasn't to show that dear leader really cared about Ruby Garcia, especially since, again, he lied when he said he talked with her family. It wasn't to show that he'd fix our immigration system, which, according to him and his cult, isn't really in dire need of fixing this year since it can wait until after the election. It was meant to allow him to not only spew his racism by calling immigrants from Central and South America or China or Mexico animals, but it was meant to let him spew his existential dread viewpoints that he has for this country. He does it over and over again. Writer and expert on fascism and autocrats, Ruth Ben-Ghiat, posted on X how Trump's Grand Rapids speech was all designed to reiterate his existential dread viewpoints about Michigan and the rest of the country. I mean, existential dread. It's all Trump and the Michigan Republican Party can do. Fear, fear, fear. Make people afraid. Even if the evidence says otherwise, make people fear the other. And make sure right-wing sheriffs flank you to help push that autocratic image. You see, those sheriffs flanking Dear Leader served as a reminder that they not only back someone who, I'll say it again, was liable for rape and liable for lying and inflating his property values, and someone who's facing charges of an insurrection which injured and killed fellow police officers, those same sheriffs served as a reminder that they will serve as his officers for a future authoritarian police state. Columnist Will Bunch from the Philadelphia Inquirer wrote about Dear Leader's visit to New York City last weekend. And he was there for that funeral of New York police officer Jonathan Diller. Now, it's tragic that the 31-year-old Diller died after being shot during a traffic stop, leaving behind a family. Now, the right wing didn't want to discuss how this country is so clogged with guns, which led to another tragic incidence of gun violence. No, they wanted to exploit the officer's death to push their false narrative that crime is just out of control across the country. And Dear Leader was more than willing to exploit the death of this officer, who became the first police officer, by the way, to die on duty in 2 years in New York City. Additionally, overall crime across the United States is falling near pre-pandemic levels, and that includes New York City, where murders dropped by 25% from the year before. And Dear Leader tried to use that same lie while in Grand Rapids, but violent crime in Michigan has dropped in 2022 from the year before. However, let's keep it real, property crimes did rise. So a mixed bag in Michigan, but on the violent crime front, the numbers dropped in Michigan and elsewhere. And that's a victory one could say for Governor Whitmer, Democrats, and President Joe Biden. But many on the right believe the guy who's promising to release those convicted of beating police officers in the January 6th insurrection, they believe is the man to bring back law and order, even though he's facing 88 different charges in various courtrooms. I know I keep repeating that, but I still cannot believe it. I feel like that I am in Idiocracy. And columnist Will Bunch pointed out that after New York police officer Diller's funeral there, Long Island GOP member of Congress, freshman Representative Anthony Desposito, posted on X, quote, "Don't ever cross us." Now that led Bunch to write in his Philly Inquirer piece, and I quote, "You should take the Esposito's warning both literally and seriously, along with the idolization of Trump. The tragedy of Officer Diller's murder is only compounded when it's used as a rallying cry for police state authoritarianism." Fast forward to this week in Grand Rapids, and there was Dear Leader flanked by these right-wing sheriffs while he spewed racist fears and lies. I mean, who are these cops protecting and serving? You and me? Or are they serving a hateful and dangerous ideology? And by the way, who were these sheriffs standing on stage with Trump and GR? Well, thanks to the sedulous work of Extreme Michigan, which you can find on X, they found out who those guys are, and they include Leelanau Sheriff Mike Borkovich, Sheriff Ryan Swope of Crawford County, Sheriff of Hillsdale County Scott Hodshire, Berrien County Sheriff Chuck Height, Chippewa County Sheriff Mike Bittner, Allegan County Sheriff Frank Baker, Van Buren County Sheriff Daniel Abbott, and Mason County Sheriff Kim Cole. Oh, and I do think there was only one woman on stage that day, and that was the Allegan County Prosecutor. And other than that, it was all men. Mostly, I assume, agree with Trump and the Republican witches to ban and criminalize abortion rights in the state and throughout the country. Now, those guys stood up there, and they clapped, and they giggled, and also tried to look tough, along with their hero there on stage who claimed that all immigrants are animals, and who lied when he said that he spoke with Ruby Garcia's family. Those guys don't care if Trump exploited that young girl's death or that he lied about talking to her family. They don't care. They're only about joining him in his cause of making people afraid of each other while offering little in the way of solutions. You know, kind of like the exact opposite of what Governor Whitmer and Michigan Democrats have been doing here for the last 18 months. Those right-wing cops and those right-wing Republican politicians each owe Ruby Garcia's family an apology for evoking her name during that fascist fest, as Extreme Michigan called it. They all owe her family a deep and heartfelt apology for politicizing her death, which her family did not want, nor did they ask for. They all owe her family an apology for being on stage with Dear Leader, as he not only spewed hate from that podium, but also that he lied when he stated that he talked with Ruby's family. It's a disgrace. It's dishonorable. It's what best represents, though, the Republican Party and those police officers who wanted to be part of it. That was fascism staring all of us right in the face. And that's what we have to defeat this coming November. You're listening to LOL,
a podcast devoted to intelligence, sanity, and freedom, or otherwise known as progressive politics. It's Left of Lansing with your host, Pat Johnston. Need to tell Pat where he's wrong? Or do you actually want to praise Pat? Leftoflansing@gmail.com is how to reach him. Here's Pat.
You know how I've been talking a lot about the white Christian nationalist movement that's taken over the Republican Party and how it will win at any cost, even if that means building an authoritarian party? Well, coming up in a few weeks, legendary writer for Salon, Amanda Marcotte, will join me here on the podcast to talk more about that topic and what we can further expect to happen if Trump and the Republicans regain complete control of the federal government, but also if they take control once again here in Michigan, starting first by taking the state house. So that's happening in a few weeks here on Left of Lansing, and I'm looking forward to speaking with Amanda Marcotte. She's always been one of my favorite writers for years. And this would be a good time to present this week's online poll, which you'll find on X or Twitter, so just search Left of Lansing on X. And the poll question for this week is, does President Biden have to cut funding to Israel until Bibi Netanyahu resigns? Does President Biden have to cut funding to Israel until Bibi Netanyahu resigns? Your answers are yes, no, I'm not sure. Time now for the Left of Lansing last call. During my talk last week with Michigan Future CEO Lou Glazer, Lou said something about the Lansing media structure, which really hit a nerve with me, and he said something that I wholeheartedly agree with. While we were talking about the recommendations of the Growing Michigan Together Council's report, I mentioned to Lou how a reporter said during Tim Skubick's Off the Record TV show that we should just throw that report away because no one will read it. And Lou said, not only is there this stale 1979 mindset that has infected many of our state's politicians when it comes to the economic outlook for the state, but he also blamed, or actually just put some of that blame on the Lansing media structure, which he said has always acted cynical on building an economy for the future in the state. And look, there are some great journalists who work in Lansing, no doubt about it, and I've spoken with many of them right here on the show. But there are some of the older guard, that I like to say, who tend to be stuck in the 1990s. They're stuck in this 1990s mind frame that Republicans are serious and those Democrats have to act Republican if they're going to get anywhere. You need a Republican Party. See, the Republican Party actually keeps going further to the right, and then that'll make the Democrats go further to the right. And that's the way it should be, according to those older guard press people in Lansing. Look, I worked in that area for 2 years, but I can tell you that was indeed the case, at least from my experience. It really was. Now, fast forward to just a few months ago. Kyle Malin from the Lansing City Pulse wrote a column titled, "Republicans in Driver's Seat to Regain the State House." Mr. Malin has done some fine reporting in Lansing through the years, but I think this is what I mean by how these guys are really stuck in the 1990s. They haven't left the 1990s. Now, why does Kyle Malin believe Republicans are ready to win? He says, and I quote, "Everything broke the Democrats' way in 2022 when they won the state house, 56 seats to 54. The repeal of Roe v. Wade ignited young professional women to vote in numbers never before seen, allowing Democratic candidates in suburban Macomb County, Wayne County, and Kent County to experience unexpected successes. As much as the Democrats want to make abortion the topic of 2024, the polling shows that's just not the case. Michigan has made the right to abortion care a constitutional right." All right, so before I make some comments here, Mr. Malin does add these words to his column, so let me just finish up here. He says, "Even if Donald Trump finds a way to win the White House in 2024, he'll never have the Republican numbers in the U.S. Senate to pull off a national abortion ban, even if he wanted one. The issue of the day is immigration. People from all over the place are flooding across the nation's southern border in historic numbers. It's raising issues about cost, potential crime, and the possibility that they could snatch up jobs from those who arrived in the country illegally. President Joe Biden is in office. If he can do something about it, he hasn't figured it out yet. Regardless of whether he has willing partners in the U.S. House, it's his problem." See, right there, that's the 1990s mindset. Republicans can do whatever they want. They can blow up their own immigration bill, a bill that they worked on for months, but because dear leader said, "Get rid of it, I don't want it passed during election year," it's not their fault. No, to people like Kyle Malin and those sage reporters from Lansing, it's President Biden's fault. Just his fault alone. Republicans are not to be held accountable. Just Joe Biden. Oh, man. And right there, Kyle Malin shows where he and, like many of his other so-called serious pundits in Lansing and across the nation, actually believe that abortion and reproductive rights are not really that much of a big thing. You see, those little women had their nice temper tantrums in 2022, and they were able to help blunt the red wave of that year. But it's time for the press to give in to what the corporate right wing wants us to be talking about, not abortion whatsoever. That's so old. It's so 2022. I mean, now, Michigan did enshrine abortion rights in the state constitution, and Michigan Democrats chipped away at those Republican trap laws designed to make it harder for women to receive abortions. And Michigan Democrats just passed the Michigan Family Protection Act, which repealed a ban that criminalized surrogacy contracts. Michigan was the only state where such a thing was illegal. Michigan Democrats took the necessary steps to protect surrogates, parents, and children so that people can make the best decisions when or when not to start a family. This adds more protections for parents who rely on surrogacy or in vitro fertilization. And as we saw earlier this year, a right-wing Alabama Supreme Court declared that embryos from IVF clinics were considered people, and that caused some clinics to shut down shop. And when Democratic Senator from Illinois, Tammy Duckworth, put up a bill in the U.S. Senate to protect the right of IVF treatments, what did Republicans do? What did they do, Kyle? They blocked it from ever getting a vote. Now, they say they're for IVF treatments, but when push came to shove, they blocked it because they believe they are the only ones that get to decide a woman's reproductive future. And trust me, the Supreme Court's decision on whether or not to ban mifepristone is scaring the hell out of many Republicans who are seeing replays of the 2022 election when SCOTUS took away a woman's right to choose and for a woman to have agency over her own body. I don't think the Supreme Court really has the guts to ban the abortion drug this time, but a couple of right-wing members of that court signaled to other white Christian nationalist groups out there how to go about banning abortion throughout the country. No, not just about banning mifepristone, how to ban abortion throughout the country, and they can do it through the antiquated Comstock Act of 1873. What's the Comstock Act of 1873? Well, anti-vice crusader tight-ass Anthony Comstock was able to lobby Congress to criminalize the sending of obscene materials through mail, which was defined to include, that you guessed it, birth control. Justices Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas took time out from being wined and dined by rich right-wing donors to bring up the Comstock Act during oral arguments, which is why I would say right now it would be smart for every Democrat running for statewide offices across the country to run on banning the Comstock Act. Trust me, they brought that up for a purpose, and that's the avenue many of these white Christian nationalists will go to control women's bodies. Abortion battles are not going away. The issue of abortion will be on the Florida ballot this fall, making some races down in that troubled state a bit closer than previously perceived. So abortion isn't going away, no matter how much Republicans and the hand-wringing press want it to go away. Now, getting back to Kyle Mullen, who says abortion won't be much of an issue this election in Michigan, let's go back and see what he said in 2022 when he believed Democrats were going to get wiped out by a red wave in the midterm elections. Here's a column from April 2022 titled, Dems Getting Nervous About 2022 for a Good Reason. Good job there, Kyle. I rest my case. You see, these guys, again, are stuck in the 1990s where progressives and their ideals were mocked while the corporate press praised the sage tutelage of people like Rush Limbaugh and Newt Gingrich and John Engler. And you know what? It's because of those guys that abortion rights were taken away. And that has now galvanized millions in the state to fight to keep it. I mean, the so-called serious people like Kyle Mullen, probably argued that Republicans would never ban abortion, and it's only the progressives who say that to scare their people. But we know better.
You're listening to the Left of Lansing podcast. The music you're hearing is by Wander Beats. To hear the latest project, check out Space Leopard on your favorite streaming site. Now back to our favorite progressive voice in Michigan, it's Pat Johnston.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of The Left of Lansing. Remember, the press isn't going to help you, especially the corporate press. The courts aren't going to help you. It's up to we progressives to keep plugging along and to keep fighting for that change and stopping the Republican fascism movement. As we see, not only are our ideas and ideals based in common sense, but they work. And progressives actually have some clout now because for the very first time in my lifetime, some in the media and some on the center left are finally demanding that President Biden get tougher on Israel. I never saw through all my years anybody, especially in Washington, D.C., in the Beltway media, whatever, I never saw anybody say it's time that we get tough on Israel, but that's finally happening. And that's why I use that as the backdrop to this week's online poll, which you can find on Twitter. Also, progressive ideals are on the line this year as we saw what a future state of fascism looks like when Trump joined all those right-wing Michigan sheriffs in GR. And those Republicans standing on stage with Trump this week are just the kind of Republicans that Betsy DeVos and Rick Snyder want leading the Michigan House. All right, that means that they'll get to block Governor Whitmer's policies. To the joy of Betsy and Ricky, who are tired that progressive ideals are becoming policy and are also popular. They want to destroy it. Now, I liked what Chris Savage of Eclectablog posted on X this week when it comes to Biden v. Trump. Yes, there is lots of frustration with the Democratic Party's base over Biden's handling or mishandling of Israel's bombardment and senseless killings in Gaza. And I'm going to keep criticizing Biden and Harris to stop giving Israel our money. But when it comes to a choice between Biden and Trump, Chris Savage said this, and I quote, "It is literally a binary choice between an imperfect leader and an utterly evil existential threat to every goddamn thing I stand for." Hear, hear. And that's where I stand on this election. Thank you very much there, Chris. Plus, I don't want these MAGA white Christian nationalists taking over any part of our state government, especially when our Democrats here have done a good job in the first 18 months of reversing their 40 years of Republican failure. One last thing. Rest in peace to John St. Clair. We know without John, not only would we not have the Hash Bash in Ann Arbor and those music festivals, maybe we would have never even heard of MC5. But more importantly, it was his prison sentence for giving marijuana to an undercover police officer, which served as a springboard to legalizing marijuana here years later. So, John, thank you for all your work, and I hope that you got to be set free. Until next time, take the battle to them. Thank you, Michigan.
The Left of Lansing podcast was produced by Pat Johnston, written by Pat Johnston, researched by Pat Johnston, edited by Pat Johnston, and hosted by, yes, Pat Johnston. Technical assistance by Dr. Heather. And thanks to our good friend Kirsten for the awesome podcast logo. Remember to visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information. Thanks again for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast.